Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining me on the line now is Sudhir Agarwal, the founder and CEO of Everrise. Now, Everrise is a next-generation business processing outsourcing company, helping companies to scale across the globe, heavily using AI. Sudhir, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Mornings.
Good morning, Glenn.
Sudhir, maybe you can start by just giving us a little bit of background. Those of our listeners who may not be too familiar with the BPO industry, what exactly does all of it entail? I know there can be quite a breadth of possibilities when you're working with your customers.
To keep it very in very simple terms, what we do is we help businesses make fans out of their customers. So any business that has customers, so it could be the healthcare industry, could be the travel industry. You have customers that call when they have an inquiry. You have customers that want to buy stuff. In the healthcare stuff, you have customers that want to find out about the insurance or make an appointment. So anything that, in very simple terms, any query that a customer has for any product or services that they've bought from a business, it's companies like us that help those businesses serve those customers.
Yeah, and you do it in quite an interesting way. I know you work in a lot of different, potentially in a lot of different languages. You have what you call experience centers in five different countries around the world. What does that actually mean? And how are you leveraging, for example, AI and technology to really help your customers, your clients achieve what they need to achieve?
Experience centers for us really means that all our employees which work with us, our offices are not where people are kind of stuck to each other. So an experience center really means that our people love coming to a office and working out there, because really you can only create fans of customers if your own employee become fans, right? How do we use technology? We use technology a lot. So we make chatbots where for the same kind of calls, if they're simple calls or emails, that can actually be answered by technology or by a bot itself, and really use humans for what they should be used, which is, you know, their brain and more intelligent stuff where they can kind of process the information.
Yeah, that idea, you know, of course, over, let's say, the last 10 years, we've seen chatbots evolve from ones that could handle just kind of very basic, simple questions and not many of them, to now they can really handle a large breadth of an amount of very actually complex questions. How important is that to have that technology available for your clients and of course, the new generation of that technology?
I think it's a game changer. At the end of the day, we call ourselves that we're an omni-channel provider. What omni-channel means is that customers can get in touch with us through multiple channels, and all of them have to be integrated. They could go on the web, you know, put an inquiry out there, send an email, put up, chat with us through the chatbot, or call in, right? And each of those interactions, when they move between those platforms, has to be seamless. You have now the chatbots are really, really getting intelligent. I mean, you know, they can literally pick it up as if you are talking to a human being, rather than the old chatbots where you would have to repeat yourself all over again. So, with deep machine learning, I think the way these chatbots are going to evolve is actually going to be really, really fascinating in times to come.
What do you say? There are many traditional companies that maybe are not using chatbots yet that prefer to have the live human voice on the other end of the line. And what do you say to them to convince them that, you know what, you should at least take a look at this new technology in terms of what it will save in costs and time, being able to have 24/7 operators, for example, if they are virtual? What is the pitch that you make to those companies that may have been resisting moving into this BPO world that we're in?
You know, at the end of the day, there will always be leaders, and then everyone else will follow. In across industries, we typically see, we work with clients, and, you know, let's say we have four clients in one vertical, you will typically see one of them will lead the way. And then you use that as a use case study and then go to the others and convince them, right? At the end of the day, it's not even a question that it has to happen. The only question is when will they do it?
Yeah, we're speaking with Sudhir Agarwal, the founder and CEO of Everrise. Sudhir, recently, you started this company not so long ago, and within the past month or so, you've been acknowledged as one of the 30 best leaders to watch in 2020 by the Silicon Review. What has been the key to making that happen in an industry that's quite competitive?
You know, firstly, I think that award is really not for me. I think it's for my team and all the employees of Everrise. I think it's an accolade that they all have won. I'm just kind of the face of it. It's a very competitive world, but at the end of the day, you know, you gotta keep investing really in two things. You gotta keep investing in people and in your teams. And then secondly, investing in technology. And it's a combination of those two. And, you know, we are going through this really troubled time of COVID. But, you know, for us, when this whole thing hit us, it was a combination of people and technology that very quickly made our entire 90% of our 12,000 people to move them to work at home within 30 days, which was just phenomenal.
Yeah, what kinds of lessons have you learned from that experience? Now, we've already talked to, you know, many organizations have said, you know, this is really going to radically change how we think about our office life in coming months and years after COVID-19 has left us. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later. But what has Everrise learned about the work from home environment that you've now created, like you say, for 90% of your workforce?
So the first thing that is most important and part of our DNA is safety of all our people and employees, right? And we will never compromise that. So the underlying principle has been that. What our learning has been that our investments that we made in technology paid off, right? That we were able to do it. This is not something that you can just flip a switch and say, okay, let's go work at home, at least not in our industry, because the interactions with our customers are real time, right? The second is, you know, work at home is a model that's going to remain for a long time. I mean, you know, even when, you know, we have few cities that have opened up across the world, but we still make our employees work from home because of their safety. And I think till the time a permanent solution comes to this, this is going to remain. So now, obviously, you know, the first challenge for us was to move everyone work at home, which we've done. The results have been very, very encouraging. Now we are in the second phase to keep investing in that platform, but more importantly, ensuring that burnout doesn't happen with people working at home. Because when you're working at home, you know, you can keep working, but that's not the idea. The idea is to have some discipline, even when you're working at home.
It sounds like you've had quite a positive experience in shifting those workers to work from home model. What is your first quarter looking like compared to 2019? What kind of projections are you looking at for growth or for revenue?
You know, we've been pretty lucky again. It's still early. You know, Q1 has gone as per plan because you know really the COVID, from a global point of view, only hit the last 2 weeks of March. So, you know, Q1 was, on track as per our budget. Even for the year, you know, it looks pretty good. But listen, we are living in a world that every day is a new day. So you gotta literally live day by day. But so far, the team's done a very good job. So.
And the first half, what do you expect that will look like when we get past Q2, end of Q2?
As of now, we are trending on plan. Yeah. On the plan that we had set for ourselves at the start of the year. So again, fingers crossed.
When you look forward, how will your services change now that we've gone through this experience to be more relevant to your customers going forward? And I don't just mean working from home and that, but do you see opportunities to actually change or to evolve the BPO business from what it was, let's say, 4 months ago?
You know, I firmly believe when in the last 21 years I've been in this industry, there really hasn't been a radical or a real significant change to our industry. Yes, technology has come, it's come a long way, but there hasn't been a radical shift. I think this incident is completely going to change the way this industry is going to evolve over the next decade. Let me give you an example. We firmly believe that even when the world goes back to normal, 50% of the entire teams and workforce will continue to work at home. I think that's what clients will want. Secondly, we are piloting concepts like microsites or micro offices, which is having you know, teams of offices of just 20, 25 people. And rather than them coming to a central place, why not set up a small office where people live? This can be very efficient in a lot of very densely populated cities. So, you know, you got to keep thinking ahead of I think it's going to be a combination of stuff. There will obviously be the traditional office. That's not going away anywhere. It's going to come back, but, you know, there's going to be a lot more social distancing that's going to be out there. You got to give more space to people. And then you got to have these new innovative ideas where the brick and mortar is on one side, work at home is on the other side. In the middle, there will be these new concepts, one which we've come up with, which we call the microsites. And I guess there'll be a lot more that will come up.
Do you feel like your customers will have to respond to their stakeholders in a different way? I know, for example, you know, I've been trying to get through to, you know, my various credit card companies and different people on the phone, and it's been a nightmare, quite honestly. It's been slow and really troublesome, and I don't know who their back end is. I'm not saying it's Everise that's responsible for it, but and it probably isn't. But just in general, you know, there's been a lot of frustration from the consumer level that companies in general have not, have not done a good job or a good enough job of realizing the opportunity to really be there for the customers during a time when many people have questions that they need answered. Take the airlines, for example.
So very good question. And let me first give you a disclaimer. None of those credit card companies are served by Everise, so you can be rest assured. So I want to get that out for a fact. I think I couldn't agree more with you. You know, none of our clients were down for even one day during COVID,
wow,
right?
Wow.
And not even one client globally. Okay, yes, the volumes could have, the number of people on that account could have gone down because you were in the process of moving them to work at home, but no client was down. I think over the last 10 years, I think companies are now realizing that it's not just only cost, right? You just don't outsource and then they further outsource it to a low cost. It's not the point. At the end of the day, it has to be customer experience. It's at times like these when you are calling your credit card company or airline that you want your resolution, and that is where technology comes in. You don't really want to speak to someone. You have a problem, you want that problem resolved. If that company had deployed those chatbots, had gone omni-channel, your query and your problem as a customer would have been resolved. And that's what a lot of companies are waking up. Over the last 45 days, we've had so much of more inquiry from potentially new customers and even our existing customers to say, how have you been able to do it? You know, why can't other companies, a lot of the other companies are struggling? And I think, you know, more and more companies are going to start, you know, thinking about this. And this is going to become, I think, boardroom agendas where, you know, that customer inquiries and customer experience needs to be solved.
Yeah, let's hope they get to that sooner rather than later for those of us who are trying to get through on their customer service lines. All right. Our thanks to Sudhir Agarwal, the founder and CEO of Everise. Really appreciate your time this morning on Money FM.
Thank you. Have a good day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.